Hello, guys. Welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Eugene, how are you feeling?
I'm good, Lucy. We should introduce the podcast by saying hola todos. Is it hola todos?
Hola a todos. Hola a todos. Rafa's voice.
Lucy.
Yes.
Was in Madrid.
I was in Madrid.
Which we'll get on to later on.
Yes, it was fun.
But I'm good. Enjoying all the like clay court tennis, obviously.
I've been enjoying it the last couple of weeks more than the early clay season, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah. It's been a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know, maybe because I was in Madrid too. I don't
know. Is that your first time in?
Yeah, my first time in Madrid.
I thought you've been to the city before.
No.
Oh,
I've done layovers in the city, but I've never like really visited a city, but yeah.
But yeah. I hear you. Things have definitely heated up over the last couple of weeks.
For sure. There's been some really entertaining matches, different stuff happening. Yeah.
On both tours as well, not just one particular tour.
Exactly. WTA, ATP, you know, but WTA more, of course. Duh. Women's tennis is the best, obviously. But yeah. Before we actually start the pod, I think we can announce something new that we're doing.
Yes.
So obviously very, very proud of what we have built in terms of our online community. In the club, we are fam. We all get along. We're all tweeting. We're all messaging each other. We want to bring that into the pod. So we have now decided to introduce voice messages. So any comments, predictions, questions that you have about matches, players, or even to us, all you have to do is go to our website, scroll down the homepage, and you will see the button right there. Introduce yourself, and you have 60 seconds to send over your voice message, and you will have the chance to have it featured on our pod. And I'm really excited for that. So, for example, our next pod will be the Roland Garros preview. Once the draw is out, feel free to voice message your predictions and we'll share on the pod and we'll discuss. So yeah, this is just a fun way to bring you guys in the podcast because we have really cool conversations
online.
It's a great idea.
And like, shouts out to you because it was your idea really.
What will Eugene do without me, guys?
Like,
I don't know.
Like you said, like we have a good community, like kind of on the socials.
Mm-hmm.
So like on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok now, which Lucy's just absolutely killing. But yeah, it's a great idea to kind of bring that to the podcast and like kind of get you guys involved in what we do on the pod. So,
and guys, don't make it too formal. Be fun, okay? Like, we like to have fun here. Don't be like, I don't know. Like, you'll be loud, be excited. You know, if you swear, we might bleep it out depending on the swear words.
I was going to say, more language.
Make it fun, make it engaging. Join us, just like our pod. Our pod is not, you know, boring and snoozy. Like, we have fun here. I'm just a little bit low on energy, as you can see with my coffee here. But yeah. So yeah, guys, blacksmithglobal.com. Go on our website. Leave us your voice message. And yeah.
Brilliant.
Should we start off?
We should.
With Clayomi. A.K.A. Naomi Osaka, A.K.A. Sam Malo champion. Naomi Osaka won her first title as a mom. And since her Australian Open 2001 victory. So obviously...
2021.
What did I say?
2001.
See, guys,
was she even born in 2001?
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Let me repeat that again. So she won her first title as a mom. And since her Australian Open 2021 victory, okay? You guys have been yapping for so long about, Osaka needs to do challengers, She did it. She won the title. And all of you that have been doing that talking, I need you to congratulate Naomi Osaka. In fact, leave a comment on her Instagram, say congratulations, Naomi Osaka, and call it a day. She had a great run. She only dropped a set twice during her run. One was against Diane Parry.
Oh, yeah, French girl.
Which I kind of expected that one to be a little bit...
She was also, I think, 4-2 down, like in the second set.
Yeah.
Like, basically on the verge of losing.
Exactly. Because Diane Parry, a lot, if not all of her challenger titles are on clay.
Okay.
So I was like, she might not be at the soccer's level overall, but in that tournament level and that surface, obviously she has more advantage than Naomi, but she pushed it through. It looked like it really did help her. for like with her confidence, because right now she's at Rome Open. She already played her first match. Obviously, Rome Open is on right now. And she won her first round already against Sarah Arani. We're going to talk more about Rome later on and her amazing second round today. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll talk about that. But even that, for example, with Sarah, she hit 40 winners, bro.
Crazy.
40 winners. That's insane. Mm. So, yeah, she looks really good.
It was a straight sets win as well, wasn't it?
Straight sets win. I was a bit scared when I saw Sarah, but at the same time, yes.
She reached the final in 2014, where she lost to Serena.
Sarah Arani has given us... Every single Serena fan would tell you that Sarah Arani, yeah, is something. She has given us headache a lot of time, especially on clay. As a Serena fan, everyone will know what I'm talking about. So it gave me a little bit of flashback. Like, oh my gosh, we're going back to that. But
no, we do like Sarah, because obviously she's jazzy,
no.
Jazzy,
of course, but I'm just saying
partner.
Like,
you but know, I know, yeah.
Yeah. A massive, massive shout out to Naomi Osaka, man. And like, it's just great just seeing her out there. She did talk about actually that comment that, because I think a lot of people were making comments that Osaka doesn't feel, she's not humble enough to play challenger events or something like that. So she kind of addressed that and she was like, no, like you could put me on court 16. I didn't really care. Like I just wanted to come back to just play again and enjoy tennis again. And she was kind of inspired by, book.
Yeah, I saw that.
Regarding her playing challenger event, because I did wonder like, did she fall for the trap of everyone saying, play challenger events and da 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 da?
Listening to the noise.
Listening to the noise. But yeah, it looks like the training blocks that she did during the clay season before going to Madrid and the challenger events has helped her so far. But yeah, like, what did you
think? No, I think everything you've said is spot on. Like, just on San Marlo, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but yeah, to go to that tournament, basically, like you said, drop down the level.
Mm-hmm.
She took a late wild card as well. So it was probably like a late-ish decision to kind of play it.
Yeah.
Second seed. Like a lot of pressure, considering obviously her pedigree. Like
true.
She's a Grand Slam champion.
You true. Because like, even some people tried it. They were like, oh yeah, but it's just a challenger event. Like, or just like, please. Like,
listen, I mean, and it's not on our rundown, but yeah, Felix Auger-Aliassime, he also played a challenger. He lost first round.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
João Fonseca, your Brazilian,
mm-hmm.
he lost first round in Portugal as well in that same challenger. So it's not easy for like these players that are like established on the tour to drop down a level and perform.
That's
and
true.
I also want to shout out Tiafoe, because Francis Tiafoe, he did this in 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
Again on clay as well, dropped down, played a challenger in Italy and won it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I remember talking to him at the time. He was like, yeah, basically, he treated it like a business trip. Like, he knew the plan was to basically go and win, and that's what he did. So I feel like with Osaka, she probably just wanted to get some matches under her belt,
that's
understandably.
It, really. Mm-hmm.
But to kind of have that run and then obviously go all the way to the final and win, really, it's really big.
For sure.
And it's obviously served her well, like you said, because now look what she's doing in Rome. Like, she's playing really well. So.
Yeah.
A really, really good example of like just persevering and not
and
kind
grinding.
Of having not having like a big ego, which she doesn't have anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, getting it done. So massive shout out to Naomi Osaka, man, for sure.
And it's crazy how the first title that she's won since is on a surface that's not like considered
she doesn't
her
actually,
best.
So
looking forward to Osaka's rest of the season. Another champion, you know, it's the African people live stream only. Eliakim Koulibaly is the first player from Ivory Coast to win a challenger title.
Just let me stop you there. Is it Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire? Because
Ivory Coast is the English version. Côte d'Ivoire is the French.
Because I was thinking, should we just announce it as Côte d'Ivoire?
Ivory Coast is because I don't want to say Côte d'Ivoire and people don't know what it is. Because Ivory Coast is what you say in English. It's just a translation in another country.
Because that all sorts of things are going for my
it's
mind.
It's like you're saying United Kingdom, but in French is Royaume-Uni.
Okay.
Yeah. You're thinking too much about it.
Maybe.
You
maybe.
Are. No, you really are.
Do you know where I was going? What? Like colonialism. Like I was thinking, no. is it?
Eliakim Koulibaly.
Sorry.
Eliakim Koulibaly is the first player from Ivory Coast to win a Challenger title in the first year the country has hosted the event.
Yeah. And this is the first year that they hosted two events back to back. So the first one, mm-hmm. he actually lost first round.
Oh, okay.
In that one. So that mm-hmm. was Abidjan 1.
Okay.
Abidjan 2, he actually won. So that was the following week. And like you said, this is the first year that Ivory Coast have hosted challenger level events. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they join Rwanda and Congo.
Congo, yeah.
So they were the two other like African or West African countries that host challenges. And it's just great for the country. And obviously back to Eliakim, this is his biggest title to date as well. So mm-hmm. I think he's won 11 titles overall, but most of those come at ITF level.
Yeah.
So the level below challenger.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is his biggest right. challenge, mm-hmm. biggest title to date. And to do that in his home country.
It's like, special. Especially huge. That is the first time we don't get that many tennis events in like Black African countries, you know, the only the 250 tournaments that we have are all in like North Africa.
Exactly, yeah.
So the impact of that is big. I've heard a lot of positive comments about like the events. I actually did see some people that I kind of know, and I wish I messaged them to ask them how did it go so I could actually share. But
as in they were there
in Ivory Coast. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, but Ivory Coast in general is a very beautiful country. It's well established, so I'm not surprised that they have the things that are needed to run a tournament.
The infrastructure, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I was there a couple of months ago. It's really, really, really nice.
I love the look of the court. So the court, the colours of the flag.
Yeah,
which I think is quite nice.
Yeah.
And we also have a nice piece coming up on the web, or should be probably published by time this comes out, but. We've got a piece coming up that will be published on the website about Eliakim's run. Mm-hmm. So look out for that. Mm. I think just in terms of what that's going to do for tennis in that country, and not just that country, but like Africa.
For sure.
And the West African region in particular. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to do a lot of good. And
yeah.
Like in the tournament too, you had a lot of like wild cards from neighboring like African countries, which again...
It gives them the opportunity.
Exactly, because how often are they going to be able to play tennis at that level?
Right.
Like, and it's about time that's kind of happening. Because
for sure. We've said it so many times.
Look, if you look at the tour, it's predominantly, it's European kind of mm-hmm. centric.
Yeah.
And that is because of obviously a lot of reasons, but that needs to change. Like
for
tennis
sure.
is a global sport. So mm-hmm. we need to see more events in Africa, not just men's events, women's events too.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good start. So,
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Shouts out to Eliakim.
Yes, for sure. Hi, guys. This is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Black Spin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in. Madrid Open.
Whew. What an event.
What an event. We're just going to go through like the highlights quickly. But before that, obviously I was there from... The men's semi-finals, women finals, and men's finals.
All the big events, basically. The main
events.
You
know what? I actually feel like the best time to go to tennis tournaments is like from round 4, quarterfinals, and maybe semifinals. I feel like it's such a risk to jump and go straight to semifinal because you don't know who's going to be there. So like, for example,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people already bought men's finals tickets thinking Alcaraz is going to be there. only for Alcaraz, not even playing,
the whole thing.
Not even practicing in them courts. So yeah, I feel like I highly recommend, like, to, I always tell, like, when it's like casual watchers, I tell them go to earlier rounds because you guys only care about seeing the bigger players. And then for other people that really want to get into it, I'm like, go like round later, four, yeah, quarterfinals, yeah, and whatnot.
I think the earlier rounds though, it's like, it's better value for money, isn't it?
It's better value for money for sure. I feel like the second week is better for those who are willing or happy to pay for that. But, you know, you can get there. And like, bro, who would have thought Draper and Ruud would have been... Ruud, not too shocking because he's good on clay.
Draper's top five now. Like,
no, he's no. But we're talking about clay though. That's what I'm saying. I was talking about clay. Don't worry, I was rooting for Draper so bad, yeah. People were turning around screwing me. I was like, raw, I'm trying to make tennis come home. Like, I understand.
I was laughing at your tweet with the
this is me right now.
Jack suit. Crazy.
I was in a full on Brit mode. It was a little bit giving UK spin global right now. Overall, the tournament looks really nice. There was a very like vibrant energy. So like, which is weird because I kind of feel when I've been to Spain twice, but one time I've been to two different cities.
Okay.
Madrid's the first time I've been to Spain and I felt good. I felt safe as a black woman. A lot of time when I went to Spain, I actually did not. Like, there was one time in Barcelona, I ran to my hotel. Like, I don't feel safe there. Yeah, like, yeah. It's really crazy. But Madrid, I did. The food was great. And the energy at the tournament was literally giving me the same thing. Obviously, you get the eyes when you're black at tennis tournament. But what is new?
What did you make of the ball people? Because they were like models.
What's new about that?
On the show courts.
What's new about that, about the Madrid Open? Remember back in the days, it was even worse. They were half naked right there. You see how, you know, yeah. So the fits were nice.
Is it Lacoste?
Lacoste. Yeah, it was really nice. I really liked the day one, which is like a lighter green one.
Mm.
That was cool. But yeah, the energy was just really good. There was like bars everywhere, food places. There was literally like a DJ section to that music.
I didn't notice that.
There was like a live band, like playing music. Like, it was really good. And there was something for just everyone. So even if you're like high upper class and you want to be, there's something for you. If you're someone where they even had like a play area for kids as well.
Nice.
Like, there's just like, you can actually spend the whole day there. And they managed, I find it amazing how they managed to cater for all sorts of like customers or fans or whatever, while also giving good tennis. So I'll give Madrid Open props for that. The tennis itself, it was interesting seeing, like, when I watched the women's final, for me, the women's final was better than the men's final.
Even though the men's final went to three?
Yeah. I preferred it. Maybe I'm being biased, who knows. But I did prefer the women's final, but the energy during the men's final was way better. The women's final, there was a lot of seats that were free.
Yeah.
Which I feel like when that happens, I think tournaments should sell tickets for like £10, £20. Let
just
people
to fill
come.
The stadium. No, definitely.
Because there were some tickets left, but they were like, who's going to pay like 100 and something euros last minute to go in? Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
Like, just sell it for 20. But you also, you know, get some money quickly and then
it doesn't make for great optics.
It doesn't.
Well,
like, but then the men's one, full. Yeah. But again, I'm not too surprised because I hope no one takes offense of this, but it is really true. There is a massive sexism issue in Spain in general. So I already expected like the women's match to not be as full compared to the men's. The men, I did not know that Ruud had that many fans.
He's a good player.
Nah, man. They were rooting for Ruud, boy. I was scared of even anything in my section was mad Ruud fans. So when Draper was doing that, I was like, yeah, come on, Draper, let's go. And they were all like looking at me, like, you know, and I was looking at them back and I was waved and everything. So yeah, it was nice finally going to tennis tournament as a fan. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished. We've been going to tennis tournaments as media. But it was nice to just go as just a fan of the
sport.
And
I didn't disturb you.
No, you didn't disturb. Oh, yeah, you didn't actually. Thank you, Eugene, because I told him, do not message me one bit. I am on vacation right now. So it was nice. So, you know, I was drinking in peace. I don't have you telling me, oh, are you drinking another one? Eugene does not like me letting me
chill,
drink alcohol,
man. Relax.
In peace.
Relax.
During tennis tournaments, as if we're not on own boss, but okay. But yeah, overall, I will recommend Madrid Open. Honestly, I didn't think I would like it as much as I did.
Wow. No, that's really cool.
I really would. Yeah, it's pretty good. Not that expensive as well, especially compared to Rome. Guess how much a Rome men's final ticket is? Just guess.
In pounds or euros?
Euros.
Ooh, 120?
My guy's like nearly 500 euros.
Are you being for real?
I checked on the website. I was just like, let me just browse quickly.
What, the cheapest ticket?
The cheapest. You're sitting up there next to Jesus for nearly 400, 500 euros.
That is a joke.
Because of sinner. Please. Anyways,
that is a joke.
So main highlight, Coco Gauff reached the finals where she lost to now three times Madrid Open champ and number one player, Aryna Sabalenka. Mm. Massive congratulations, Sabalenka. She has been on fire this season.
She is definitely the like undisputed number one.
100%. Like she deserved number one ranking. Totally. As I said, very entertaining final. Very close going to like a three sets.
The second set, man. Coco was serving through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her serve, and honestly, it was really Coco, her errors and serve. But overall, I'm so glad that you always root for Coco, by the way. Like the way you always like, Coco's gonna win, it's Coco's thing. No, because in a world where everyone's just chatting crap about her, saying, oh, Coco this, Coco that, blah, blah, blah. So many people, I don't think they would have even thought that she would have made it all the way to the final in Madrid, especially the way she started her clay season, like the last couple of weeks. And it was unfortunate to see all these discourse when she lost the final. And I was like, bro, some of you didn't even think she would have even gone past round two. She's all the way in the final. What are you doing? Like, it did not make any sense. And on top of that, compared to a lot of the top players, she had a really crazy draw.
The draw was crazy.
Like from her third round, she even got bageled by
Yastremska.
Exactly. Yeah. But like from her third round, she had Belinda Bencic, and Bencic has been on job. Mm. Mira Andreeva, Iga, and we all know, and I believe she is the only player to have beaten Iga and Clay like in a while or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
and also not face any break points.
No break points.
which is a mad stat. Like,
and then she has Sabalenka in the final. And it's not like she lost to a random player. She lost to the number one player who we literally just said deserved that ranking.
Undisputed.
Sabalenka has been on how many finals since? Like, she's literally been collecting all of these trophies at the beginning of this season. She was a finalist at the first Grand Slam of the year. She just won a 1,000 title in hard court. She's this is her third Madrid Open title. Like, her losing to Sabalenka is not
I mean? There's no shame in that at all. And their head-to-head as well is very close.
Very close.
I think now Sabalenka leads, or it's level. But
I think it's level. I think it's 5-5.
I think you're right, yeah. So, again, that just shows as well, like, the level Coco's at.
Exactly.
And also with Iga before in that semi-final with Iga?
Semi-finals, yeah.
We all know they're head-to-head.
Yeah.
Very lopsided. But now...
And do you know what's crazy? You actually said it. You said that is going to change one day.
I'm sorry. But Lucy, no, honestly, like, now what she's won the last three times they played, Coco's won every single one of those matches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, it's... It's like
different surfaces.
That too. And I was also going to say, like, the kind of progression of that is the score lines. Like, they've literally, it's got easier and easier, like, basically.
Yeah.
And this, for me, was like the biggest one in terms of like being on clay.
Yep.
But again, we do say people forget Coco Gauff is an established clay court player. Like, she knows that surface. She won the Junior French Open.
She won doubles and she was a finalist.
Exactly.
People are forgetting that.
She's got pedigree on clay. So these kind of results and like performances, they should not surprise anybody.
No one at all.
And like you said, the discourse like around when she does lose, it's like, what are people watching? But then for me, I try, I don't engage with like any of that stuff, and I just basically try and avoid it. Really and truly, but it is difficult because it comes up on a timeline and you see it.
You'd be minding your business and you're just like,
it's very irritating.
Listen, at the end of the day, everyone is fan of the sport. We're all going to say stuff, but you guys can keep on yapping. It's Coco bloody Gauff, man. Like, she's back to world number 3. And she's killing it. Like, honestly speaking, like, I'm so glad that she's made it that far.
She's very close to... I would not put it past her getting to number 2 by Wimbledon. Like, as in grass court season.
Really?
Yeah, I think she's going to have a great French Open. I'm looking forward to that.
I think so too. I think the Madrid Open will definitely... Because the thing is, the only thing... Again, the errors and her serve were the only things that were really, like... It really did cost her for that final... When that is on job, Coco is very, very, very difficult to beat. Like, these girls are literally out there tussling and struggling. Even Sabalenka, she had some moments as well. The moments where, like, Coco were on job and everything was going well, it was getting difficult for Sabalenka. But she's a great mover on clay. We've said it before, she's such a smart tennis player. Like, she has all the skills. It's just that at times... the errors and the serves just get to her and it gets frustrating. And I think when she gets to that, it's hard for her at times. Sometimes, you know, she can't really like fight back. Sometimes she does, which she did at the first round, for instance. Yeah. But she played really well against Iga. She's done really well throughout the tournament and finding solutions when she needed to. So yeah, I'm looking forward to her going to... I feel like this was a great way for her to continue the clay season.
Definitely,
for sure.
Definitely.
So yeah. It's always Team Coco here.
All day, every day.
Another Madrid Open highlight. Gabriel Jallo. Shout out to Team Guinea out here.
Guinea, stand up.
He made it all the way to the quarterfinals where he lost to Lorenzo Musetti. This was his debut at a Masters 1000 and as a lucky loser. And he took advantage of that.
It was his debut in Madrid. Because he's played Masters 1000s before.
Did like, I put Madrid? Yeah. I meant Madrid. Yeah.
But yeah, to take advantage of that lucky loser spot, bloody hell.
He did.
Lose final round in qualifying and then go all the way to the last eight. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. And for me, his best match was against Dimitrov.
Oh, easily, yeah.
He dragged Onkel out of that court, man. Onk was tired, bro. Like, he did not know what to do, man. A lot of, like, the best... For me, that was one of the... Probably the best match or top three best match in the Madrid Open.
That was the day before you got there, wasn't it?
Yes. It was the day before I got there. And the day that I got there was when he played against Musetti. But yeah, he...
Lost the first set. Lost the first set 7-5, and then won the second 7-6 in the tiebreak, and then 6-4 in the final set.
Yeah,
and against Dimitrov, he was the 15th seed. Dimitrov's had a good season as well. Like, he's been making like the latter stages of some of the bigger events.
He has
more experienced, obviously, than Jallo. Like, but yeah, this is a massive, massive stepping stone now. For the Canadian.
For sure. Top 50 now.
Exactly. Career high.
Yeah.
He will definitely break in. I don't think he's top 50. I think he's just outside the top
50.
But he's definitely going to break into the top 50 this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got weapons. Like, obviously he's a big guy, big serve, solid off both wings. He has nice kind of point construction as well. Like, he doesn't just rely on power.
Yeah.
Like, he can hang.
And it feels crazy. I think Jallo can even hit, like, way stronger than even he does right now. Yeah. He's like, when I watched him at US Open, when he was serving, the speed and the power it was crazy. And I was looking at him, I was like, I feel like you can even do more.
Yeah.
But I feel like over time, he'll be able to.
Yeah, because I think he's 22 or 23. He's a young kid. Like, so there's time exactly to develop.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked quite swaggy too with the left leg.
The left
sleeve.
Leg thing, yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's, well, it must be kind of a physical kind of thing that he's kind of protecting there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like an ankle or like a leg muscle.
Mm.
But yeah, I just thought it looked quite swaggy. because you don't see that often. Like,
yeah, true.
In tennis,
definitely.
You do in basketball, but yeah, not so much in tennis.
Yeah, but a massive shout out to Jello. Honestly, that was such a great way to use your lucky loser spot for real. Do you have any other favorite moments or key highlights from like Madrid?
There's a few. I'll say a few. Obviously, Jello.
Oh, how can we forget this? Coco and Robin Montgomery playing doubles
together. Yeah,
yeah,
that
was
nice.
Cool.
I think they reached the second or third round.
No, I think, did they not make it even further down? Like, quarterfinals?
They lost to Azarenka.
Yeah, they lost to Azarenka. And,
I forgot who she was playing with.
Yeah. But it was nice anyway, seeing her. And now she's going to be playing doubles again with Alexandra
Ayala.
Yeah, I did not expect that, but that's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But yeah, so that's my other favourite moment.
The double. Yeah, no, that's a good shout, actually. I'm going to say, yeah, Coco reaching the final. Like, because I say Coco reaching the final. The match against Iga and the manner of the win.
Yeah.
For me, that's like...
That was cool.
It was a statement.
That was definitely cool.
1-1.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But also, I think Jallo also reaching the last eight is... That's also huge.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I know he's a black spin, but big up Draper. He was giving out. He entertained me.
And Ruge, you know. Ruge's record on clay is actually insane.
Everyone was happy that he won that time. Because the times that he lost, like anytime he was close to winning, Rafa. he was losing to either Rafa or Djokovic.
But his record on clay since 2020, and this was a stat on Tennis TV, nobody's won more matches than him on clay.
Oh, wow.
And he's won the most titles as well, like in that time. I think it's like 12 titles.
Okay.
So he's a serious clay court player. All of the titles, most of those titles will come at like 250 level.
Mm.
So that's why people don't really pay that much attention. I think last year was his first 500.
Mm.
And now, yeah, he's a Masters 1000 champion for the first time.
Mm.
Obviously, Draper is a Masters 1000 champion and winning in Indian Wells.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now a two-time, he reached his second Masters 1000 final in the space of a few weeks on a different surface too. So yeah, he's having a very, very good season.
With that being said, Uncle Murray, leave Djokovic.
Joker.
Come help our boy, man.
That's what Uche said. Uche said the same thing.
Like, come on, man. Like, bring tennis home in it. Like, grass season is coming, you know. It's going to be exciting. You never know. We might get a bank holiday if we get someone winning a Grand Slam again. Like, you know.
It's
a win-win. We get, you know, a bank holiday. Tennis is great. You know, it's going to be a wild one. So, yeah. Quick tennis news. Obviously, we're in Rome. The big daddy of ATP is back.
Jannik
Sinner is back. Everyone's excited. How do you feel? Because I feel like there's been mixed reviews. There's some people who are excited and there's some people that, for example, I saw a Tennis Weekly podcast. They tweeted like how they find it weird that one of his racket brands, whoever it is, I can't remember
who.
Head. Yeah, that's it. Like he did like an Instagram post that, oh, he's back and ta-da-da. But like, they were trying to explain like, I understood where the tweet came from. It's more of like people making it seem like he was in surgery, struggling in the jungles. It's like, bro, this guy got banned.
So how
do you feel about it?
Honestly, I'm kind of bored of it. Not going to lie to you.
Really?
Yeah, I'm glad he's back to kind of end the whole, oh, he's coming back and do you get me?
Okay, got
it. The only thing is...
Is this your comment that you...
No. Yeah, it's not the comment. my only thing is, it still doesn't sit right in terms of when you look at other cases. And I'm going to go back there because this is black spin. Mikael Immer.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm,
I just
mm-hmm.
think of him
mm-hmm.
more than anybody else because
okay,
he
first.
Did not test positive for anything yet got like an 18-month ban.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and... say, oh, I've read the, 180 page, because I'm not, and I don't intend to. But at the same time, I'm entitled to feel the way I feel.
Of course.
And I just don't feel it's not a good look for the sport, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's, I've got nothing against Jannik Sinner, and I believe him. I believe that he did not intentionally dope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just don't like how his case has been handled because I just don't feel like it's fair.
No, I feel the same. I mean, I'm just excited because I just want to see, because I've been going on and on about how I've been enjoying the WTA more. So I just want to see how it's going to go with the ATP now that he's back. Is that going to motivate the players, the top players more? How is he going to be performing? Is he going to prove to people that actually, you know what, we don't need a long calendar for us to still be playing our best tennis. We need a little bit of break. Like, there's so many things. Like, I'm using him as a guinea pig to see how the rest of the season is going to be.
3 months out is actually quite a long time.
Bro, this guy was on vacay.
This is what I'm saying.
He was out here strolling around Fashion Week. He was living his best life.
I'd love to get into this maybe in a later... Well, this would be a great debate for listeners to get into as well, but... Lucy, I feel like the level, and I did tweet something along the lines, the level in I said men's tennis, but tennis overall now, there's no such thing as the level's just really high. So I go back to what TFO said, and this is what I tweeted. I'll never forget when I think it was the third round, he beat Popperin and Alcaraz had just lost to Van der Sandschloot.
US Open.
Yeah. And basically, TFO was like, yeah, guys are good. Like, if you're not on job, you're going to get popped.
That's true.
Like, it was funny the way he said it, but it was like, so true. Because no matter who you are, if you're not playing well, and the guy you're playing is ranked, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 spots below you, you're going to lose.
If he's playing well,
like, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
So, and I just feel like now that the gap isn't as big as it used to be. And I feel like you can say the same thing for women as well. Although,
of course,
where I give the women credit, or the top women anyway.
Yeah.
Like, the top 10, they are kind of, I say top 10, the top 8.
Top 5.
I'd say top 8.
Okay.
Top 7, okay. Top 8. I'm putting Jazzy in there and Keys. I'm putting Keys in there.
Hey, what's the respect on my girl?
Grand Slam champion. I'd say the top 7 are like far more established than the top 7 in the men's game 100%. Right now. But I don't feel that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. But again, it goes back to what we said a couple pods ago, probably just one pod ago. I think it's just, again, for me, it's just being, I like it. I love seeing the different ones. I love the fact that Draper won a title. I love the fact that Andreeva won titles as well. I think there's that also old tennis fan in me that's like, man, I'm used to seeing the same players being consistent. But you're right, it is exciting because the good thing about it is that I can watch a tennis match and not know who the hell's going to win.
This is it.
And it's really entertaining. So even when I went to Madrid, like during those rounds, because it was like the final stuff, I was like there was, when I was watching the Ruud and Draper fight, there were times where I was like, okay, yeah, Ruud's going to win. Oh no, Draper's going to win. Oh no, Ruud's going to win.
Seesawing, yeah.
And I love that. I love going to a tennis match and not knowing who's going to win.
On that match, as in, so Draper, Ruud was like, what, the 13th, 15th, 14th, 15th seed.
That's true.
Draper was the 5th or 6th seed.
Yeah.
So on paper, Draper should have won that match. But then those who know tennis know Ruud has reached how many grand slams, how many French Open finals.
Yeah.
He's got pedigree on that surface.
Yeah,
whereas Draper, obviously, he's the higher ranked player. But Ruud has the more experience, like in those kind of moments.
Sure.
So I think, it's a great point you make, like in terms of the excitement of going into a match and knowing, hang on a minute, anyone can win this.
Yeah.
Like, that is that's sport.
Yeah, no, it's sport, yeah. I'm glad you said that though, because I do feel like the new generation of like the tennis players don't get that much prop. We're still thinking about the big threes and all these older players. And the thing is,
it's boring, man. I'm sorry.
And the issue is because these players, and all respect to them, these players are still around in the industry as commentators, journalists, broadcasters. Like, for example, TNT Sport has announced the broadcasting team.
Sorry, man. You know I'm laughing, though.
I know why you're laughing.
Why? I don't think you know.
Why are you laughing? You say it first.
The Charles Barkley.
Are we going to edit that?
Roland Garros to the French Open. Honestly, though, when you do deep it, Roland Garros is not related to tennis in any shape or form. Like, I mean...
Why is it? I don't know.
He was like a pilot. a World War One pilot.
French culture.
It was named in honor of him, as in, I was just like, okay.
Oh no. Either way, where I was trying to go with it is that I looked at the team yet and I'm like, great. Because it did include Venus Williams as well, which
Is she where? Does she know?
This is exactly what I tweeted. I'm not gassed till I see Venus Williams on that screen with a microphone yapping about tennis. If it's not that, I'm not falling for it. Sloane Stephens is there.
Nice. I think it should be the tennis channel though. Or was that TNT?
No, it's TNT. Because TNT Sports will be covering French Open this year. And I looked at the team and I was like, this is great. But when will we get new faces in media? When will we have, if you think about it, tennis doesn't have that many, like, this is the tennis broadcast. Is that this? A lot of them, the top ones, are previous players.
But is that bad? I don't think that's a bad thing.
I think it should be a mix. Basketball is a mix. Like, I remember when I see when platforms announce, hey, these are going to be the hosts for this basketball season, you see a mix. You see a mix of journalists, and you see a mix of players. That TNT thing, I just saw only players.
I don't know if I'm...
Really?
I don't know if I'm against that, Lucy, man. I
want a mix. I want a mix because I want it to be an opportunity for, like, the media. I also think the issue with having the previous players, there's always going to be that comparison and not really given...
But then that's what I'm saying. That is where they can kind of differentiate themselves. Like,
yeah, but you're doing it too much. And sometimes they be hating as well.
Because I don't like that as well when players say, oh, yeah. Back when I was playing, I hate that.
No one cares, bro.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like there's now more of a conscious effort not to be that person, as in when players are commentating or... Yeah, I'm surprised you're saying this. I will say this. This is a bit controversial. I don't like when players current players anyway, are podcasting. Like, sorry. Leave that to when you're done. Leave that to
when... I feel like even when you're done.
No, because I listen to Andy Roddick's. I like Andy Roddick's podcast. Shouts out to Andy Roddick, man. One of my favorite players growing up, you know. But yeah, I don't like him. I don't need to name names, but like, I just, come on, man. Like,
I knew it. But I hear you.
Maybe edit that out.
I hear you.
Edit that out.
Listen, if you're a real one, then you'll know. You know who you said in it. But I hear. No, but I'm with you.
Okay.
My thing is, I'm with you because, like I said, in general, I just want to see more people in actual media in the field, doing these things more than players, because there's also a difference when people are commenting from a fan's perspective
as opposed to the player. Yeah, no, I hear that
exactly. So
there's definitely space
and also it allows tennis to like grow.
Yeah.
We've been seeing the same faces, like, aside from seeing Venus, because I don't think Venus has ever even really done broadcasting like that. Sloane has been doing it for the last couple of weeks and all that. So it was exciting. There was
She did it back in the day before she won the US Open.
Exactly. So, but when it's weird. Normally you'd be like, oh yeah, exciting. Then I'm like, I want new faces, man. I want young faces.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was excited to see Sloane, because, you know, she's a younger player. She's a fantastic on clay, so it will be great to get her analysis as well. So I feel like even if you're going to get players, get like recent people. Like, for example, Jo Konta, when she was doing the commentating for grass season last year, she was great. Amazing. So get at least the recent retired players, you know? We'll see how it goes anyways. We'll come back to this.
That's crazy how we went from Yannick
Sinner. Maybe leave your voice message on the website and let us know.
Crazy going from Yannick Sinner to tennis broadcasting. That's mad.
I know.
I like it though.
Tara Grant has confirmed that she's now representing Italy. She was like, thank you, USTA, for your services. But Forza. It is the country from her birth. Like, she was born in Italy. But she's been in Italy for a minute now, to be fair.
Speaks Italian as
well.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, even when she speaks English, you can hear the Italian accent. Yeah.
Yeah, her mum's Italian. Her dad's American. But yeah, no, that's exciting for Italy.
For sure.
Man.
She did unfortunately lose the first one. She was really close, which was yesterday. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what's next for her. And yeah, Rome Open.
Do you want to hear my controversial?
I thought that was a controversial thing, actually. Wow, I'm loving this, guys. Normally, I'm the controversial.
I've not mentioned this to Lucy. And yeah, maybe, but this might get edited out. But anyway, okay. I'm going to go there.
Right.
Have you noticed how we've not posted anything about Met Gala?
Yeah.
So previous years I would post.
Okay. Why didn't you post it this time?
So this year we had Serena and Venus there. Yeah. I don't think any other tennis players were there.
No.
Lucy, I didn't like the optics, man.
What do you mean?
Did not like the optics. This year's theme was what? Black dandyism?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dandyism?
Uh-huh.
And like, I get it. Like, it's nice. It's a nod to like that time and like, yeah, black culture. But it just... it doesn't sit right because I'm tired of like...
You felt like it was performative?
Basically. And also, I don't like these like one-off shows of like gratitude and like, do you get me? Nods. Make it all year. And this is why this exists. Like we are a thing. We exist every single day.
Yeah,
like we're not just here for a month.
I don't think your comment was controversial.
Really?
Yeah. I think what you're saying is correct though.
Because
because there are some people that felt like it was a bit forced. Some people, I think it's weird. I had mixed feelings. Yeah. I was excited. When it started though, it was a bit like, oh, okay. I think, do you know what it is? I think I've become just used to it.
You see, that's what I'm saying. I feel like we can't let that happen, man. Mm. Do you get me? We need to, I say, wise up. And I'm not trying to be here like some flipping Malcolm X, like
Dr. Umar out here, man.
No, but honestly, it just, and I know you have obviously the chairs. Like, yeah. I think Pharrell was a chair, Lewis Hamilton, and the actor, I forgot the actor's name.
Domingo.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. Like, I know they were like chairs and like they had a massive influence and kind of say and like how things went and stuff, which is great. But yeah, Lucy, I just don't like the one-off show of, okay, here's your moment and like, do you get me?
Yeah, cool.
Have it
day.
And then that's it.
And that's it.
Good night.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, they look great. Everyone looked fantastic in their like...
Venus, I really did like Venus because it was a mix of tennis... She was with Lacoste. Her thing was with Lacoste.
Oh, okay,
her style was like a mix of like tennis stuff and obviously the actual theme. She had like the little beads in like her hair and stuff. Oh, so yeah, it was cool. But I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Wow, so that's just gonna get kept in. Like
yeah,
we're
of
gonna get this.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
This is black thing.
There's me getting all hot. Like
I've said things way worse than that. If you guys knew how many things we had to cut.
Stop woo. It. Stop it.
Let's finish off with Rome Open. I'm sorry, guys, but back to Naomi Osaka. Oh, my goodness.
Incredible.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Who did she play against with again?
Victoria Golubic. Another lucky loser.
Oh, she was a lucky loser?
Yeah.
Man.
So one thing I'd love to know. So Golubic took Padabados' place, who was a seed.
Yeah.
So obviously being a seed, you get a first round bye.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, does Golubic get Badosa's money as well in terms of like the first round money and second round loss money?
That's actually a very good
like,
question.
Like, I would love to know.
I have no idea.
Because that's a decent check for losing in qualifying final round and then losing
in the
main draw.
I think it'll be first round.
I don't know. I think she might get the
tournament
the full,
director.
The
send
full
us a
check.
Voice message.
But no, shouts out
but
to
yeah,
Osaka.
So, guys, that match was incredible. Obviously, again, Osaka, she won the first round against Sarah Rani. That
straight
match,
sets.
Although she won straight set 40 winners, she did have some issues with her serves and errors. So the same thing kind of happened today. A slow start. She lost
but
the first set.
On that too, she said this after the match. She found out she was playing Golubic 25 minutes before going on to court.
Yeah, I wish Badosa kind of said earlier if she could.
But I think there was always kind of the ideal potential she was going to put out because she's been struggling with this injury
but
for a minute.
Not 25 minutes
I know,
before.
It's unfortunate.
Then Osaka, Like, guys, Osaka was so low. Her body language was off. She was not feeling it. I've never seen Osaka like throw away her racket so many times in one match. She even got a warning.
Wow.
She literally put a towel over. She was crying. Like, she put a towel over her, but I thought she was just cooling down. Yeah. When she went back to court, you could see that she cried a bit.
Aww.
There was all of these things. And I was like, damn. And then the second set, she was up 2-0. But then Godrovich like broke back. And it was 2-2, but it's like for one moment, Osaka was like, nah, I'm not losing this. And she was like fighting off. And the errors were not as much. There was no errors for like a couple of games. Her forehand was where she was getting a lot of errors. Okay. Her backhand was so good. So, so, so good. Especially during the Irani match. Her best shots were like with her backhand. Her serve was on job. Like, she had this switch out of nowhere. And I made a tweet on our profile. It's crazy how we always talk about her mental, including myself. Yet her mental is what helped her win this match. Mm. I feel like she just said to herself, nah, I'm not going home today.
She went on like an 8 or 9 game winning streak. Like,
literally, she just went on crazy smoke. And then the last
serve for the match in the second set.
Yep, she served for the match. Like, it was so close. And then the last set, I think Godrovich did not know anymore what to do with what Osaka was giving.
Five up and then...
She was 5 up, yeah. And then won the set. And it won the match. And even when she won the match, I think she was even like, bro, like...
There was no celebration.
There was no celebration.
Yeah, she just waved.
She had the straightest face. But it shows to you how much she wants this and how much she loves the game, especially with the way everyone's been talking.
You know what, Lucy? It's fantastic points you've made. I'm going to put it down to the training block, which you mentioned earlier.
That's true.
She's put in so much work.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, it's showing. And I'm going to take some more credit. I did say I was looking forward to seeing her on clay, like, because I... From what I've seen in terms of like the clips on socials, work's being done there.
Literally, I even when I made our TikTok, I said the same thing as well. I was like, I know people talking about the training block, but she looks like she was grinding.
Work is being
done. She looked like, I even said it as a joke. She looked like she even left her kid back home. Was like, listen, mom's got to work right now. I need to let these people know who I am. Four-time Grand Slam champion. People are forgetting. But yeah, it looks like a partnership with Patrick is where I just feel like all the yapping that people been doing, Osaka's like, I bet, let me show
they
you.
Continue to yap.
People spoke about her working with Patrick, been working out well. They spoke about her not playing and doing the training blocks. Looks like it's been helping her out. They spoke about her not playing challenger events because she's not humble enough. Look at that. She won a challenger event.
So
every time people say something, there was something else. But when I tell you, if you watched that match and you said, no, Osaka's not winning this, she will even understand. The fact that she won it was incredible.
Yeah, no, it's huge,
so
huge.
A massive word on to both ladies for giving us such a match and Osaka for winning this. It was really, really big, especially considering that, again, she only found out 25 minutes. She didn't have time to study her opponent, you know, so she couldn't do anything.
It's like a quick 2-3 minute chat.
Exactly.
Before we wrap, we've got to shout out Victoria.
I was just about to say
that. Go on.
Victoria Mboko. By the time this pod will be out, the Coco Gauff and Victoria Mboko match will be on.
What a moment that's going to be, man.
What a moment. I'm really looking forward for that match. What do you have?
I've got Coco, obviously, but yeah, she's Mboko is going to cause Coco some problems,
yeah.
Definitely.
She has big confidence when it comes to like
and
facing
she, these
big
are the matches
players.
She wants to play. She said
she
that.
Said
she
it.
Wants these big matches.
Exactly.
So she's got that now, second round.
Yeah.
She came through qualifying as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her debut in Rome. She's going to crack top 100 within a matter of months.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I think 158, I think, around there.
Amazing.
I'm looking forward. I'm annoyed, but also quite excited they have to play each other. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be a nice moment.
I'm excited in a way of like, she's going to get a lot of eyes on her, a lot of people, chatting about her and stuff. Obviously facing a top player like Coco, who's going to be debuting her Miu Miu collection.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
the,
so excited
the Miu Miu
for
shit.
That. But so looking forward to the rest of Rome Open.
Are we going to give predictions or no?
I
don't really have any. Shouldn't have said that, sorry.
I actually don't, you know.
Yeah, let's leave it.
Let's leave it,
maybe
guys.
Maybe
how about you give your predictions?
Exactly.
But yeah, guys, we'll catch you on socials. Rome Open is on. We'll be back for post-Rome and also preview of Roland Garros.
Roland Garros. Or the French Open.
French Open. Don't forget to send us your voice message, subscribe, and yeah, reach out to us on socials. You know, we'll be up there watching the matches. And yeah.
Thanks for tapping in, guys.
Catch you soon.